But, you know, when God moves in on the scene, He usually does it to disrupt what's not going right for Him. Amen. You know, he had 11 apostles that He counted on to turn the world upside down. And they were going in the wrong direction. So what did He do? I love God. He says, well, I'll take somebody that's killing my church and get him to turn this thing around. He picked Paul. Amazing. And Paul, of course, gives testimony. He says, I was born out of due season. What he was saying is when the church should have been bearing fruit, God picked him for conversion to turn it around. And you know what God did? He didn't entrust it to any man for revelation or insight. He took Paul up to the third heaven, and we don't know, you know, how many times he visited the place, but we know that he was in the backside of Damascus for 3.5 years, and he was caught up to the third heaven, and God taught him personally through the Spirit. And it says that he heard things that were not lawful for man to utter, meaning there was no law that could be given that man could come up with that insight, but Paul got it directly from Jesus. No wonder he was so strong at withstanding the religious man. I meant, who are you going to go with? If you sat down and was instructed directly by the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you going to say? Well, Jesus, you remember when I was caught up to the third heaven and you shared this with me? Well, these guys are saying the opposite. Yeah. Who's really in charge here? I don't think so. That's why a lot of people took Paul pretty hard, because he was emphatic. He was emphatic. Hallelujah. Well, how many enjoyed Rick Renner when he was here? Sure enjoyed him. Let's get ready for the Word. You ready for the Word? Dear Heavenly Father, Your Son came into this world for the sole purpose of being able to bring judgment upon the world. Not the judgment that would sentence every man to death, but a judgment that would bring perception through the manifestation of Your Son. For He was the personification of the character of You, Father, in flesh. So today, Father, as I share the Word of God to Your people, may they hear. For in John, He said, right after He said, for judgment, that I've come into the world, He also said, for those that think that they hear, don't really hear. Mm-hmm. And for those that say they don't know how to hear, I give them hearing. So, Father, today I pray that we listen to the message this morning with great focus, so that we come out the winner as believers through the Word of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, okay. You're going to be focused today? I tell you what, I'm so in the Spirit right now. And it's not a Seahawk spirit. Hallelujah. I just feel very illuminated. And when I do, it was because of the result of what I was meditating on all morning. Boy, it can illuminate you sometimes. The Word of God has life in it. It's not graphite. It's life. My words, they are spirit and are life. It's alive. It's living. It's active. It's powerful than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of your spirit and your soul. Hallelujah. Praise God. Help me, Lord, to deliver Your Word in understanding. Open up to 2 Corinthians 5, 17. We've been bringing out the fact that the teaching this morning is how to succeed in life, both naturally and spiritually, because there's two parts to a man in the sense that he has a natural life as well as a spiritual life. I thought in Romans chapter 1, Paul made a statement I never understood for years until now. He says, the God whom I serve out of my spirit. Boy, that caught my attention, you know, huh? You know, we're going to be rewarded for things done in the flesh. What's he talking about? Whom I serve with my spirit. Well, I know that statement now. Right. It takes supernatural revelation for a person to understand it. Right. How do I serve God out of my spirit? That's the first thing that I said to myself when I read the verse. Out of my spirit. How do I serve God out of my spirit? Well, we've been bringing out to succeed in the natural and the spiritual is that there are 6 points that you have to really get a hold of to understand. One is the Holy Spirit. You have to learn that He is your mentor. In spite of men, He is your mentor. First John, John the Beloved said that men that live lies, men that are living a lie, cannot bring you into truth. Well, when we look at that word lie, it's predicated on the word deny. That's a very unique Greek word. It's arnermai, which literally means one who has gotten into the face of another person, has heard his counsel, and has rejected it. And in this case, the Apostle John said there are people that have gotten into the church. The Lord Jesus has spoken to them, no, off the foundation. So, even though they had received it, they said, John the Beloved said they were of us, but they went out from us, that it might be made manifest they were not of us. Mm-hmm. Usually, when the nature of the devil gets into the church, the first thing he wants to do is disrupt the church and divide it. That's the first thing he does. That verse is not saying who was saved and who wasn't. That verse was saying who followed on in the anointing of the Holy Spirit and continued in it. Because the Holy Spirit will let you see the Lord Jesus Christ very clearly. I can't do that. I can bring you words, but they have to come alive in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because you got to go back to the Word of God. Yes. You know, I thank God that, and John said the same thing. Even though you don't understand the teachings of men, the Bible does have a foundation. If it don't line up with that, forget the man. You know, it has to be in the Word of God. And it has to be amplified there. Now, in 2 Corinthians, did I have you turn there? Chapter 5. We laid out this one fact. One of the points was, God starts by developing a new way of life in us. When we get born again, that's the first thing He does, is He starts developing a new way of life. He does not bring an inner healing as a result of your former life. And I'm talking about a life after the flesh. Even though we have fine books, and they get into, well, they're not fine books, they're books that lead people astray. How we need to get back into the history of our past and find out why we thought and did the things that we've done. I've found that if you pursue what you are as a new creature in Christ Jesus and let those old things pass away, the greater understanding you'll have about those old things than you do the new.
Right.
Amen. And so you just have to come to a place in your life where you say to yourself, I have been born from above. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the second point that we brought out is He has to develop a new way of life in our thinking. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a physical body. Now, notice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to know that God was in Christ, verse 19, reconciling the world unto himself, Now notice this. This was another verse that was confusing to me for years. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. When I looked at that verse 19, it sure stumped me, because what does it mean he's not imputing? Well, you know, the whole Bible talks against sin. Well, you see, when you've become a new creature in Christ Jesus, when you've been born again, and old things have passed away, God's not interested in the mistakes that you made in the past. Amen? God's focused on your present walk and your future.
Yes.
See, and yet many of us do not get free, break free from our past. You know, yesterday was yesterday. Did you guys know that?
Yep.
Well, did you know that we can carry things over today that we encountered yesterday? We better make sure that the things we carry over is of God, and the things that was not of God, we've got to learn to leave them behind. You cannot reason nor rhyme away why you did what you did before you got born again, because you were living out of your carnal mind. And if there was anything I'd want you to get this morning, is the understanding that your carnal mind is crazy. It's nuts. You don't have to be designated crazy to go to an institution. We all are there in the natural. When it comes to the mind of God, you know what I mean. Hallelujah. And if we would just look at our natural thinking that way, we can't trust in it. You can't trust in natural thinking. It's bound by your senses. A Christian that is bound by sensual knowledge is a Christian that cannot develop spiritually, because God wants you to live by faith, not by sight. So your confidence to overcome this world has to be as something birthed in your spirit to dominate your carnal mind. Hallelujah. Now, he says here, to know this, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And see, a lot of people don't understand that verse, but I understand it very clear. Now, the best thing that I can share with you is we sung a song this morning that I love so much. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. How many like that song? We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Should I sing that for you, Tammy, to see if I qualify for choir? I will not. Turn over to Genesis chapter 5. Because we take it so literal. You know what I mean? And sometimes we take it so for granted. Such as this term, new birth. Many of us don't understand that at all. In Genesis chapter 5, there's an important verse here that when I first saw it, it confused me. It's another one of the verses God has to bring you an understanding about. And notice verse 2 of Genesis chapter 5. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. In the day when they were created. This was not speaking, this verse is not speaking after the fall. It's speaking before the fall. And he says very clearly here that he called both of them Adam. Well, then when you go back to prior the fall, we know that Adam called Eve, the mother of all living. Amen?
Yep.
So everything that came from the loins of Adam came through the woman and then was planted in the earth. Now, notice he called them both Adam. I thought it was very interesting, because if you have a Strong's Concordance, look it up. It's very interesting. Don't look up just the name Adam. Your translators did that because they were confused. I hate to say that, because all our translators are so have the mind of God. So disappoints me. But they were confused on this verse. They didn't know how to deal with the Hebrew in its raw sense. And it was this. The word Adam has two parts to it. It's two words. The first one is found in the A. And it literally means father. Father. And the second half of the word Adam is D-A-M. Damn. I shouldn't have said it that way. But that's what it is. You put the two together and it comes up with Adam. But if you separate them, it would be better translated father's blood. Because the word damn is the word blood. It's not a cuss word. It literally means that the father is saying that both of them had life by the blood of their father. You know, it's just like natural birth. It, from what I understand, isn't the man the one that determines the outcome of the sexes because he carries the blood? And the woman does what? She presents the body. Now, whether contrary to your belief or not, spiritual death is not carried by the body. Now, what is spiritual death? It's not annihilation. It's separation. So when a man is spiritually dead, it means his spirit is not connected to God. Amen? When we think of God as a spirit, how do you think of him as a spirit being? Well, the first thing, we think of this shape with God on it sitting on the throne. Nobody knows what he looks like, but we think shape. But God never thinks shape. He doesn't want the world to look for a shape. He wants the world to see his nature. You know, every one of us experience seeing someone. But not all of us have fellowship with each other. So we don't know what nature they are of. Amen? You know, in the Old Testament, God approached those who were to carry his existence, his knowledge, by their senses. He approached either as an angel. He approached some way in the manifestation of the senses. He had to. He couldn't approach them by their spiritual being because they were spiritually dead. That's why God can speak to us today and we can know exactly what he's all about because he has an inward revelation now. Everything that they had in the Old Testament was outward revelation. Now listen to me. When you look at a person and you see them and then get acquainted with them, you could either turn them into a form of idolatry or you can reject them. The first friend I ever had, his name was Pat Powell, a wonderful friend of mine. But I began to idolize him, and everything he got I had to have. I had to walk like him. I had to talk like him. I observed how he moved. I loved everything about him, and I copied that. And many times I thought it was interesting. Our friends would get with me and say, "You know who you remind me of?" And I said, "Who?" "Pat Powell." Say that again. Well, there was a glory in that friend's life. There was a glory there that I emulated. I wanted to, and I'll use a biblical term, I wanted to exegesis my friend. But you know what? As much as I idolized him in the natural, as much as I copied him to a T, I did not know him after his spirit. I only knew him by what I saw. I only knew him by my senses. But have you ever seen somebody you see by the senses and they're beautiful? But when you get to know them on the inside, they're ugly. That is why beauty is not skin deep. Beauty goes beyond that. Matter of fact, I've seen people who had looks in their life, and that was their downfall. Matter of fact, many areas of their life, their character is misinterpreted to themselves because they are caught up with themselves. There, I've actually heard people say that, and use this term, that the Bible says we are to love ourselves. And they love looking at themselves in the mirror because they look so beautiful. That scares me. Because that kind of nature is not good. Now, notice he called them both Adam. He said they're both of my blood. Did you know when you get born again, do you know what's happened to you? You were born of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? When we look at this term blood, we don't think of it as life. We think of it as blood. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the blood, and you have songs about the blood, you are actually singing about the life that His blood brought you. Amen. In birth.
Yes. Amen.
And see, you don't see yourself that way. You see yourself as having some element of blood in your life that covers you. Do you know what it says? The Bible says that it is the blood that cleanses you from all unrighteousness. His blood, if that was the agent to cleanse you, we'd all walk around pure red because He'd pour His blood all over us. He was referring to the life that was in the blood is now in you, and that life which is His birthing in you, His blood is what will clean you up. Glory to God. And many of us don't get that concept. We don't understand that we have to be renovated inwardly. And our carnal mind has to be purged. It has to be cleansed. See, we don't see it that way. But you know, when you step out of your body, I've had the experience, when you step out of your body, guess what goes with you? Not your body. When you step outside your body, whether it's at death or resurrection, what steps outside your body is two elements that you cannot see with the natural eye. You can't handle with the natural hand. You can't do anything about what steps outside your body. And it's two elements. One is your soul. You don't lose that. And number two is your spirit. They are eternally connected. You got that? Now, when you step outside your body and you just have soul and spirit, you know what's left? All of you in the realm of the soul. Now, let me tell you this. Does your soul have substance? Does your soul right now have substance? Yes, it does. You know where it has substance? Physical brain. Physical brain. That's where your soul is residing. The reason it has to have a physical brain, it has to have a way of expressing itself to this world. But what people don't understand, even though your soul has substance in this flesh brain, your flesh brain is made up of connections that produce thoughts, and they're only produced through your five senses. Interesting, isn't it? Did you know your carnal brain doesn't know God? The only way it knows God is the soul within the carnal mind having connection with God. Because it's born of God. By what? By the life of God, which is the blood of God that was conceived in the womb for your birthing. Now here's the uniqueness. The woman does not pass a sin nature. She only is a recipient of it. It's the life that's in the blood of a man that passes spiritual death, not the body. Now are you ready? In Hebrews, it's very clear in the book of Hebrews that It was the body that God used to house deity for one purpose. To be tempted in all points like as we are. Because it says in the Bible very clearly, He took not on the nature of an angel, but He had the nature of God dwelling in Him. Are you following me? And it said, He took on the seed of Abraham. And when He said He took on the seed of Abraham, He said He took on a natural physical body. Now what we're told is this, that He had the same body Adam had. No, He did not. He had the same body that Mary gave Him, which is a body that is potentially bent to sin. And He sinned not. Or He couldn't have taken on the seed of Abraham. Because when you say He took on the seed of Abraham, then you've got to say He never really took on the flesh of Abraham. He did. But He didn't have the nature of Abraham in His spirit. Because He was conceived in the womb of Mary as a spiritual God-man. He was 100% God and 100% human. Glory to God. Glory to God. And He had to grow in stature just like you and I. But glory to God, He was the first light that came into the world from the loins of God and not Adam.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. See, we don't think of ourselves when we say new creature in Christ. We haven't got a ghost of an understanding of what that is referring to. You have the life and nature of God in you. When you're born again. When you're not born again, you have a spirit that's none of His. Glory. Is this understandable for you? I want you to get this, because this is going to set you free. I've noticed that when I entered into this area, I've noticed the power of God stronger in my life now. It's weird because your carnal mind begins to lose its authority. Because you have a higher understanding that's giving you freedom from it. You know, it says when you look into the face of Christ, it says that you're transformed into what we call the law of liberty. You know why that is so important? What it says is the more that you are transformed in your spiritual mind, the more your natural mind is losing its power. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory to the Lord. Glory to the living God. Hallelujah. 1 John 4. I'm trying to get some impression in you. 1 John 4. This is a verse that I understand so completely now. Hallelujah. How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. We could sing it this way. We have overcome by the life that is given to us through the blood of God. What a song. That gets down to the nitty gritty of what happened to you. This is a very interesting verse. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect. How many of you would like your love to be made perfect? Can I see your hands? You know what? It is the love of God that is the power of God. Did you guys know that? God gave me that revelation. I said, God, I want more power in my life. He said, then grow up in the love of God. And that love will compel you to lay hands on the sick. And there will be a compassion that rises up through spiritual growth that takes that position of strength. You know that compassion doesn't come on you because God bops it on you like He does with the Holy Spirit. That compassion comes up out of you, not because God ordained for you to have that compassion. I've seen so many Christians say that, and I used to say that. Well, the compassion of God has hit me, and that's why they got healed. God says, no, that compassion came out of you. But you see, you got to realize there's a transfer of authority. To whom much is given, much is required. The more light you get, the more you're responsible for, not God. You know who was consumed to hate sickness and disease? You know what patriarch we had in the past that was that way? His name was John G. Lake. He grew up in the most sickly family, you know, and he grew a hatred for sickness and disease. He sought in his own family, sought in his own life. And he fervently went to God. And he got in the face of God. And a compassion welled up in him. And he'd get people in a room. And he'd stay in there until the compassion of God got a hold of him. And he said the more he developed spiritually, the more the compassion came. Which tells me, you cannot have God come down and go, boop, compassion. It is you developing and growing spiritually. That's where that compassion comes from, not God. Most of us have this concept. Well, I want to prove to the world that God can heal. You know, the world knows God can heal. What the world needs is the love of God proving that He wants to heal the world, not you. One brings glorification to you. But another one brings glorification to God because it's God coming out of your heart to run that thing off down the street. Now, I want you to notice this verse. Herein is our love. This is verse 17 of 1 John 4. Do you guys know that? Yeah, John was spacing out here. I didn't tell you what verse? It's all right. We'll pray for him later. I thought I had. Is that going to win? Notice this verse. This is that we may interesting boldness in the day of judgment. In the day of judgment. Now you ready? This is not the day where God sentenced the world. This is a different word for judgment. It is Croesus, which literally means a reward. A reward. It's talking about there's going to come a time when God is going to bring you a reward for things that are done in your flesh. Now, every time we see the word judgment, we always think katakrino. This is katakrisis, which literally is predicated on the basis of rewards. So, we could better translate this way. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of rewards. Because, as He is, and boy, this is powerful, so are we in this world. Powerful. What? First time I read that, But you know what? This really caught me. Because if you read on, you'll find that there are going to be Christians who will be ashamed at His appearing. Same book. Why? I got to think, why are some going to be so ashamed at His appearing? You want to know why? Because they are presently carrying on outside the nature that God has put in them. That they know God is against. But this verse says that these people, they are going to have such boldness and such confidence because they is that have been in the world. Pow. Did you guys get that? That means there are going to be some Christian getting in His presence. And they're not going to be able to validate why they carried on sexually impure. Are you going to pull out some kind of doctrine that says the grace of God covers that? I have secret credentials, Jesus. And those credentials are going to be some doctrine in there that you're going to have misinterpreted.
Yeah.
Now, you know what makes this verse so powerful? I'm going to share this with you, and I need your careful attention, because we're going to get into the Greek a little bit. And the reason I want to get into the Greek, how many enjoy Rick Renner when he teaches out of the Greek? Tries to make it simple. I'm going to try to make it real simple for you. Even though I use Greek language, I'm going to explain it out. Because you've got to get a hold of what this verse is saying. Got to get a hold of it, because it's powerful. Notice he said, herein is our love made perfect. Remember I said, do you guys want to be perfect in love when he appears? Notice this. That we may have boldness in the day of the rewards. Because as he presently is, so have we verse love that God dwelleth remains. Just cut you to pieces, fruit on your own tree. Scared to face ourselves. Because, why? Because we agree with ourselves. We're friends with ourselves. We can walk down the street and live happily with ourselves, but nobody else can. And so when people try to show you your faults or your mistakes, it says a righteous man will receive correction and go on in more righteousness, where some people, you try to correct them, and well, I'm just moving on because I feel like I'm pinned up and I'm not free. And they attach it to a church. I'll never forget a revelation I got of myself when I was at Casey Treat's church. Did you go there? He cuts your flesh bad. He started talking about pot bellies. I got so tired of hearing his attitude towards overweight people because I wore one. And I'll never forget driving in the car home with my wife, my helpmate. I said, I think it's time we change churches. She looks over at me. My wife has a way about her that just gets right to the point. She says, what is your problem? I said, you know, he has an attitude towards overweight people. And here's her look. Oh, really? So continue. And I said, he has no compassion. He's always talking about somebody's belly. And what about people that are overweight in the church and how he can hurt them? My wife says, I don't know how to deal with that. You're going to have to. You know, isn't that true? Usually when you lash back out at somebody, it's because you're not dealt with yet. Or you wouldn't lash out. You know, I could change churches. Still didn't eliminate the belly. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. Now notice this. In the Greek, here's what it's saying. This is what we call the perfect, and I'm going to explain it out, perfect passive indicative. Perfect, well, I'll say it this way. Perfect indicative passive, for those of you that understand Greek. This is a very unique tense in this verse. Very unique. This verse literally says, something took place in the past. Something happened to you in the past. And whatever happened to you in the past is continuing along, even to the present. In other words, whatever happened in the past is presently continuing right now. And guess what? It literally means that you're performing it on yourself. The word passive in the Greek means something that you're performing on yourself. It has nothing to do with God doing it. It's all that you've chosen to perform on yourself. As a result of your own choosing. Right, ready? And it goes, because it's perfect, it goes into the future. It means whatever happened to you past tense follows right up present tense, and it will continue on future tense. That's what we call perfect indicative passive. That means that a man had something happen to him in the past, and because it was so profound, he continued as a result of that right up to his present action. And this present action is something he's continuing to perform on himself until future. Now notice, let's read the verse again. The reason this guy can have boldness in the day of rewards is because past tense he was born of God, and present tense he's living out of the maturity that he has come to. He's matured in the love of God, and as a result of it, he's going to have a boldness in the presence of God, because God developed him in perfect love that he is. Glory to God. Glory to God. Man, I tell you, I feel like running around this church. Go for it. No, we might not have a service. How many understand what I'm talking about? You know, when Christians get depressed, it's because they've lost vision. There is no hope for success in their life. Mainly because usually depression will come on through another person's mistakes. Give me the thumbs up, guys. We let people get to us. Why? Because outside of yourself, people are too stupid. I thought some of you would get that. That's the nature of Satan. He says so right there in John 7. He says, these guys thought they knew me, but we didn't have an approving relationship because they looked at somebody else's chips. When you're looking at somebody else's mistakes, you're going to get depressed. And none of us perfect. I've had people really down on me. And I notice a different spirit about them. I get around and say, what is your problem? And every time they bring up something they took offense to that I didn't do. Did it mean they were wrong? No. No, I'll validate that. It was some stupid thing I did. But they let it offend them and never said anything to me. And I said, well, this is where I was really at. And this is why, oh, they went through all that torture for nothing. Basically, it's because I turned to him and said, yeah, that sounds like me. What? Yeah, well, I want you to know I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Because it was something I didn't think about. You know, we don't think outside the bun. A lot of times we think bun. Bun is self. We don't think of somebody else's testimony about us. You know, and boy, it caught my attention. And I went to God about it, and God says, got your attention, didn't I? You know what God honors? When a man makes change in his life because he took correction. Not rejection. Now, I got to stop. In the Old Testament, mankind dealt with the shadow of God. The New Testament, mankind deals with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you guys believe that? Now, are you ready? You cannot bear fruit off of somebody else's shadow. It has to be His person. That's why it was so important that we understand that God was manifested in flesh. Because He had to show the world what He was. Are you ready? Not as an all-powerful, all-consuming God. That was not God's purpose for Jesus. Jesus got up and quoted out of Isaiah and said, "For this reason I have come." To loose the captive, to heal the brokenhearted and everything. And he sat down in the New Testament book, and it says he closed the book and sat down, but he didn't finish the quote there. And the day of vengeance of our God.
Right.
Why? Because Jesus' purpose was not to come to condemn the world, but to reconcile the world before God so you could grow up and mature and become a son so that in the day of his return you can have boldness because he's transformed you into his perfect nature which is found in your spirit. Now I understand why he said, "God whom I serve out of my spirit." It would have been better translated, "God who I serve by the nature of God in my spirit." You all got that nature. But the thing about it is, we can't do nothing with our carnal mind. You know what your carnal mind looks like? I hate the way I think sometimes. I hate it. And it's weird because your thinking gets so subtly into you that you're thinking it. And the only way that you can deal with it is to let God catch your thinking in the state that it's in and correct it. I wore myself out here about 3 years ago because God was dealing with me on how I thought. And every time I bless God, I'm going to think right, whatever's lovely, whatever's pure, whatever's a good report. I didn't know that all hell would break loose, just kind of like the word diet. You're going to be challenged on every step you take towards God. You're going to be challenged. I've had people say, "Well, I'm glad I left my word. I'm really free now." When God gave me that over in Isaiah, that psalm says, "No ravenous beast will be able to stay within this ministry because fleshly Christians can't stand the Word of God, not me." They think I'm their problem. The problem is the Word of God. If I run you off, good luck, Charlie. I'm not for running people off. But I'm for challenging you to develop and grow up spiritually. That is the vision of this church. And we found a way this year to do something about it. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm going to share tomorrow night, the changes that we're going to make this year. I'm excited about it. Praise God. But we have to do it as a team. I'm excited about it. God's been speaking specific things to me. And when he introduced this whole new understanding that we hadn't caught, it just caught me off guard. I said, "My gosh, I've never seen it that way." But you know what? To church history, God is going to take a new approach. But it's an old, established fact that will be a new approach for the church. In other words, even though it seems new to us, it's something that began back there that's going to continue right up to present tense. We just have to fit into that. We're going to have a good time tomorrow night. Well, did you guys get something here tonight?
Amen.
We're going to, next Sunday, we're going to get into specific scriptures that relate to you being spiritually alive to God. We're going to show you verse by verse. You are going to get so excited. It's going to literally remove the restrictions that your soul will put on you for the world. The thing you got to know is things that will free you up to do the will of God. How many of you agree to that? Not make you feel more contained. Did you know the more that the Word of God chips on your flesh, the more you feel confined? Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
It says right in the Word, in Philippians, it says, "He that has ceased from sin suffereth." Why? Because your body is not having the freedom it used to. Well, did you know that when you're operating out of your flesh, and you start operating out of your spirit, you're going to feel a restriction in your flesh you have never felt before. Matter of fact, you'll hate the things of God because of that feelings of restriction on your natural flesh. Father, you know what I forgot? I forgot communion this morning. Do we have time for communion? We don't have a service tonight. We do. We need, you know something, if God spoke to your heart this morning about dealing with issues within yourself, communion is the time to deal with that. Amen. So ushers, come forward and get the communion trays, and what we'll do is instruct you to pass it on to the person next to you first, then take your drink and thing, and we'll see to it that everybody gets the wine and bread, even though my ushers shorted me one time. I forgive them. John Batella will feel that he'll never live that down. He hands me the communion tray, for those of you who weren't here, and it had wine, but it didn't have any bread. And I got to take him, well, he wants me to just take the cleansing part. He did apologize. Hallelujah. If God was speaking to you, let's take this serious right now. If God was speaking to you through the message, you've allowed yourself to slip back into that natural thinking, even towards people. Whatever you do, just put it under the blood. God will deal with every one of us. Don't you think so? He will. You know, a lot of us don't have confidence in God working in our heart. We need to have more confidence of God working in our heart. Don't you think so? You know, a lot of times we think we need to do the work of the Holy Spirit. Let God work in people's hearts. That's more important than anything else. Amen. Letting God work in people's hearts. Boy, I don't know how many times I've stepped in and opened my big fat mouth. No, not you. She said she did. She's the epitome of perfectness. How can that happen? Boy, Rosalind, you get up here with that tongue, man. My flesh always gets the goosey bumps. I know I got to interpret it. Trouble was, I got the same spirit she had. Got all over me. I started laughing. I couldn't help myself. Whew. Ida, you want to say something? Oh, you can't. You got tennis shoes.
I just want to lay down. I'm ready to kick the devil. I just want to lay down my life a little bit for each of you. When I came to the Lord, it was just as I was. And there was a lot of flesh there. And I remember one morning I was coming down some upstairs and I was wearing like a little mini skirt. Just as I was, I came to the Lord. And my son Lynn was looking up the stairs and he said to me, he was little, he was about 6, and he said to me, "Mama, are you going to church like that?" And I said, "Well, honey, this is all the clothes I have, and Jesus said, come just as I was." And the flesh still screamed at me. I smoked then. And I fought that battle for so long. And one day I said to the Lord, I said, "Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. I like to smoke. I love to smoke." I said, "So God..." And that was another thing my kids had said to me. Lynn and Richard had said to me one day, "Mama, who's going to take care of us when you and Daddy die of lung cancer?" Lynn, raise your hand so they all know who my son is. And you know, the Bible says a child shall lead them. And so one day I said to the Lord, I said, "Lord, I like to smoke. But I also want to raise my children. I want to live for you." I said, "So help me, take that desire, change me into your nature." And so, you know, I always say, I never gave up anything, Tish. God changed me from the inside out. And then, you know, when I got out in the world, I had a real problem with lust. And the world will feed you that lust. You know, if the desire is there to be loved and to want it, be wanted and to be attractive to the opposite sex, there's all kinds of fads that come and go. Well, the men wore really tight pants then. Tight. And so when I came into the church, the men had the same styles. And so I said, Father, I commit my eyes to you. And I'd look at the neck up. The neck up.
Check up
well,
from
you
the neck up.
Check up from the neck up. Well, I got to where the Word of God was really overcoming and I was strong. And we're going down years later now. And I'm very committed to my husband and to the Word of God. And I'd be driving here to buy his word, and I'd get up there in South Tacoma Way, and a thought would hit me. And it was a lustful thought. Well, at first, I'd look at all the new places there on South Tacoma Way, and I'd say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Come down. Oh, and if my grandkids were with me, I'd say, shut the door. Let's just pray right now that God shuts the door. And then I remembered from my childhood. When my dad wanted us siblings to settle an argument, he had boxing gloves. And he'd say, oh, who's going to put on the boxing gloves with Sonny? And my brother is a pastor now, so we've talked, he could tell you volumes about these boxing gloves. But I was the firstborn, and I'd always put on the boxing gloves. And he'll tell you about the time I gave him a black eye and ran. But I got to 96 in South Tacoma Way one day, and I went to take the left to come down here to church. And I got a lustful thought, and I said, Satan, we're putting on the boxing gloves right now. You see, you got to fight this flesh. If you want to live for the Lord, if you say that he is your friend, you got to turn loose. You'll never regret it, turning loose these things that the flesh screams out at you. And I talked to Billy Joe one day, because he looked so much like my daddy, and we talked about this flesh fight a little bit one day. So I said, we're putting on the boxing gloves right now. Every time, because that's not my thought, I think God's thoughts. I said, every time I get a lustful thought, devil, the boxing gloves come on, because from this day forth, I'm going to pray for every man and woman who's caught up in that battle of lust. Do you know what? I've prayed. I've done the intercession. Many of you are being set free because of that. We don't judge you if you're caught up in lust. We know what a weapon it is. And we know that these senses is a very strong web that the Satan has out there. And he starts out and just gets you entangled a little bit. Maybe it's looking at a TV show. But the devil's in the center, just like a spider, and he's trying to wrap you up. So I'll tell you what, when you take communion today, if you want Jesus to really be your friend, ask him to show you. Show him the little foxes that spoil the vine. He'll clean you up. All he's asked us as leaders to do is to catch him. He'll do the cleaning things.
So excited. Praise God. I'll tell you what, a lot of us give in too soon. We need to stand our ground. Even though the temptation gets strong, if we just stand our ground. I can handle anything, John. Oh, I don't need this. Oh, that's what you're saying. Wouldn't it be funny? This Christian having a bookstore problem, pornography. He's walking down the street to go into the store and he says, Lord, I can't help myself. Please close the doors that open up to this thing. So you go to start to walk through the bookstore door and it slams in your face and the lock appears on it. Well, he closes the door. You guys ready for some more serious note? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the bread. Because the night in which Jesus was betrayed, you illustrated what communion was really all about. By standing up after they'd taken communion and girding yourself up with a loincloth, a towel, And then you knelt down to wash the disciples' feet. Well, Father, this morning as we begin to take communion, we know that the example of His physical body that was given, that was broken, literally torn to shreds as a result of what we should have had, so that the blood would cleanse us, the life that's in the blood would cleanse us from all sin. And so today as we take communion, Father, in representing both elements, may we do it so that we're not sentenced with the world. And so first of all, He took bread and broke it and said, "Take, eat, this do in remembrance of His sacrifice as often as you need to." So go ahead and take the bread. Also, on the same night, He took the cup. And He said that this is symbolic of the life that is in the blood that cleanses you. Drink this as often as you would. Say, "Father, through the life, I will cleanse my walk." Take and drink. Ushers, take your cups and bring them towards the aisles. Now pick them up. John and I have to go to the hospital to visit Cordella Stevens. And I would like you to pray for her. Lift her up in prayer, would you? She went through an operation, and we know that she's going to come out okay. Amen. John and I are going up there and lay hands on her. She's going to have a quick recovery. Amen. Do you guys believe that? Little Cordella, what a wonderful little lady. She loves us. She called me, and she didn't ask me anything. I said, "Cordella, what is it that you want?" She says, "Oh, just wanted to let you know I'm in the hospital." I said, "You want me to come pray for you?" Well, if you want to. Bless her heart. You guys lift her up in prayer too. Amen. She's going to get out of that place real quick like. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray for her now. Yeah, why wait? Yeah. You disagree with me. Father, we thank You so much for little Cordella. Boy, what a wonderful, faithful little member. Hallelujah, the church. Father, when we had need, she always rallied to that need. When we've had financial need, Father, she's always been there. Not that You do anything for payment, but Father, because she did it out of the goodness of her heart. Well, the goodness of Jesus' heart was to bring healing. And so when John and I go up there and lay hands, the whole church is in agreement with me that she's going to have a quick recovery, because all of us together agree that when we lay hands on the sick, they recover. And I hear a healthy amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stand up, everybody.